Green News for you.
Green News for You, your environmental news source, bringing you the latest in environmental news
with the weekly roundup
at WPS Production.
Hello, I'm your host Mel, and I want to welcome you to another edition of Green News for You. In this segment, I'll be talking about landfill biodegradation. Biodegradation is the chemical breakdown of materials by bacteria or other biological means. This is done aerobically with oxygen or anaerobically without oxygen. Now, there's a lot more that goes into this process. It's obvious that something needs to be done to address these issues, and the old landfills are just not cutting it. For example, do you realize that waste collected from New York, specifically Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island, is collected by DOS, delivered to a private waste transfer station in the city, transferred to 20-ton long hauling transport trucks, then brought to Pennsylvania, Virginia, and Ohio? Oftentimes, you will find these smelly trucks on the highway. Believe me, you will know them if you ever were behind one. New York City and its surrounding boroughs also generates 12,000 tons of garbage each day. So, we can talk and learn more about the benefits of landfill biodegradation. To do this, my special guest is Morten Barlaz. He's a professor and head of the Department of Civil Engineering at North Carolina State University. He has spent years as a research scientist at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency Laboratory for Groundwater Research. He is currently one of 11 faculty members in the Water Resource and Environmental Engineering area at the Civil Engineering Department. Professor Barlaz's research includes three major areas, the first being biological, chemical, and physical processes in landfills, second, integrated solid waste management, and third, geoenvironmental engineering. Professor Barlaz, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Before we get into the questions, there are three areas that I mentioned. Can you tell me what's changed or has changed in the current landfills as opposed to the older landfills?
Well, since the early 90s, every landfill has had a regulatory requirement to have an engineered liner that essentially separates waste from the environment. That would be, of course, the soil and groundwater underneath the landfill. Those regulations came into play over the course of the early to mid-90s. I don't remember the exact year. So that's certainly a change from the, you know, the open dump of the 50s and 60s when people just dug a hole and threw garbage in and sometimes lit it on fire, sometimes just covered it with soil. Today's modern engineered landfill, you're running $400,000 or $500,000 an acre to build it with the proper controls. The other thing that's new with the regulations from the 90s is that leachate, the contaminated water that percolates through the garbage and is therefore contaminated, that leachate is collected and treated, much like domestic wastewater.
So it doesn't leach into the soil and then make its ways into the rivers and streams or other places where it would hurt the environment.
That's correct.
All right. So with these three areas of your specialty, let's go through those. Now, you talked about biological, chemical, and physical processes. I'm curious to know how that plays a part in a landfill.
Well, I think biological, chemical, and physical processes play a part in pretty much everything you do. It's going to be one of the three. But specific to landfills, the major biological process is the anaerobic biodegradation of that part of the waste, which is biodegradable. And the end products are carbon dioxide and methane. And so you can think of a landfill as a large, albeit somewhat inefficient, biological reactor. Concurrently, there are chemical reactions that are going on, carbon dioxide going from liquid to gas phase. There are some chemical contaminants that may undergo a chemical reaction prior to a biological reaction. There are things like iron and sulfide that will form both dissolved and then they'll form solid precipitate. So there's a variety of chemical reactions occurring concurrently with the biological processes. And physical refers to things like water movement. You know, it rains and that water percolates through the waste. There's gas collection where you're imposing a vacuum on the system and pulling gas. So those are what we refer to as physical processes.
You talked about the liquid going into a gas form. Now, I read that with landfill, when it decomposes anaerobically, that 50% of the gases that are emitted from a landfill is methane. And I also know that they're trying to lower those emissions that are going into the environment. What's taking place with that?
Well, when waste is decomposed, the under anaerobic conditions, it's going to make 50% methane, 50% CO2, roughly in the gas phase. Actually, there's not much activity in the realm of trying to lower methane generation. What there is activity to lower methane emissions. And what that means is more aggressive collection of that gas and treatment, either converting it to carbon dioxide and releasing it, or converting it to steam, or, well, you burning it to generate either steam or electrical energy, or perhaps generating compressed natural gas, any of which can be used as an energy source.
Right. And that was another question I was going to ask. I see a progression with the landfills moving towards an energy source, so they can actually collect the methane.
Yeah, that methane can be collected. In fact, it's collected commercially at about 550 landfills in the U.S. now, and used either, as I say, for natural gas or electricity or steam.
That just opens up a whole new segment for energy production, which is quite interesting. How long has this process been going on?
I'm not sure. I know that there were gas to energy projects as early, at least as say 1980-81, and I suspect there were some in the 70s. I just don't know.
Now, you mentioned bioreactor as a landfill being somewhat of a bioreactor. Can you go into more detail on a bioreactor?
Well, sure. And there's maybe two different uses of the term. First, a landfill is a system in which biological reactions occur. So in that respect, we often refer to it as a biological reactor. More recently, maybe the last decade or so, we've talked about bioreactor landfills. These are landfills where we actually intentionally add moisture to stimulate the rate of decomposition and enhance both the rate and extent of waste decomposition and methane generation. And there are, I don't really have a good number, but probably several hundred landfills that are actually being operated to speed up the rate of waste decomposition.
So it actually, instead of letting it sit and go through the whole, its own cycle of decomposition, it's they're adding chemicals to help speed up the process.
Well, not chemicals, just moisture.
Oh, interesting. Now, the second thing you talked about was integrated solid waste management.
Right. This is maybe much more broader than landfills. When we talk about integrated solid waste management, we're talking about the entire system. So if you were to think about, the definition of waste is something, once you're done with it, or have no further use for it, or it's dysfunctional, it's waste. And then the question is, what are you going to do with it? And your options, depending on what it is, are to landfill it, combust it in a waste-to-energy facility, compost it in an aerobic biodegradation process, or recycle it. So, if I take something like an aluminum can, you'd say, well, let's recycle it. If I take something like grass clippings, you might say, let's compost it. If you were to take something like newsprint, you could say, well, we could recycle it, burn it for energy, or landfill it. So integrated solid waste management is simply looking at every step of the process between waste generation and ultimate disposal, which could be disposal or recycling.
When you look at it, you're talking about local being the customers, how it's transported. Once it's transported to the location, how it's separated. So it's what it says. It's a waste management system to look at the project as a whole.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It sounds like a whole lot goes into that.
Well, it's an extremely complex system, and that's because there are so many options and so many factors that come into play.
That's had to evolve over the years from getting away from the old landfills where you just take it and dump it.
Oh, absolutely.
How has it evolved so far, and what changes now are being made?
Well, there's a lot more interest in what I'll call waste diversion from landfills, which is primarily composting and recycling. There's less interest, unfortunately, I think, in mass burns to energy facilities where the waste could be burned and converted to part of it converted to electrical energy. And you're seeing, you know, the span of things from, you know, at one extreme might be a city that just still collects the waste and buries it all, to cities that have, at the other extreme, you know, they'll fine you if you put recyclables or compostables in with your mixed waste. Or we could, you know, San Francisco, where they've banned food waste from your garbage, or, you know, Nova Scotia, where if you the collector sees food waste in your garbage, they'll leave your bag at the curb with a polite note telling you to separate it if you want it collected.
Wow, interesting. That's I know Pennsylvania. I was talking with Sims Recycling, the president there with that company, and he was talking about how Pennsylvania has made recycling mandatory in that in the state.
Yeah, well, it's all about how you enforce things like that.
Right, and I see the change taking place. Politicians can make the laws, but it takes the municipalities, it takes the people in the area to get involved in those processes and to understand the processes. A lot of times laws are passed and it's left with the jurisdictions to figure out, okay, how are we going to manage this?
Exactly.
Now, given the resources available, what's left to overcome?
Well, let's just to be sure we're differentiating. You can recover methane as waste decomposes in a landfill.
Right.
And that's one form of energy. Or you can take the waste and burn it and use the heat generated to generate energy. In the U.S., we estimate, I think, something on the order of 50 to 60% is landfilled and maybe 10 to 15% is burned. And something on the order of 30 to 32% is recycled plus composted.
Which isn't bad. It could be better.
Absolutely.
Now, the third thing you talked about, geoenvironmental engineering, and that's something that is that something new that's come about from the processes that have been going on as far as with the environmental concerns, groundwater, waste disposal?
Well, I think it just to be clear, the term geoenvironmental engineering, I think, was born, I'm just going to guess, maybe between 1985 and 1990. And it applies, if you think about some of the major environmental issues in this country or indeed the world, they involve soils. So having engineers that understand soils becomes very important. If you think about a landfill, it's an earth structure. So the person that designs that is somebody with expertise in geotechnical engineering. Well, that works for compacting the dirt, building the liners, building the leachate collection systems. You start talking to that person about the microbiology of waste decomposition or the chemistry of the leachate, and their eyes glaze over. That's not what they're trained in. Mm-hmm. And similarly, if you think about, you know, groundwater contamination, there's water movement underground in aquifers, which geotechnical engineers have understood forever. And then there's, you know, okay, what if there's a contaminant in there? How does it move? And how does it move relative to the water? And to what reactions is it susceptible? And so now you see where you need someone that understands both geotechnical processes and environmental chemistry and biological processes, hence the term geoenvironmental engineering for people that have some expertise in both.
Interesting. I've seen companies that have been established as geoenvironmental engineers. Now, the companies that have been established, where would they come into play as far as, let's take a factory as an example. Would a factory call them in? Maybe a factory that's producing engine parts or something like that, and they have disposals. How would those geoenvironmental engineers be used in that type of process in a factory?
I don't really think they would be. That factory, if it has a solid waste stream that it needs to dispose of, I think a traditional environmental engineer would address that. And you know, that factory is not going to build its own landfill. It's going to go to a third-party landfill. And it's that third-party landfill that would have more of the geotechnical engineers that did the design and are involved in the operation.
Ah, I see.
So it's sort of like when you go buy a car, you don't have a meeting with a mechanical engineer.
Right.
Someone else had that meeting and took care of the design details, and you're a consumer of that car.
Right. Okay. I understand. So they work behind the scenes.
Yep.
In the beginning of the show, I was talking about how a lot of waste is coming from other states and exporting it to other states to deal with. And that's up in New York. And I know in 2001, they were talking about setting it up where they could have less waste going out, at least reducing it by 50%. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you know anything about that as far as them reducing the waste coming out of there. But it sounds like they're doing something like this where they're setting up a waste management system and using it for recycling and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a step towards integrated waste management, where you're looking at the whole stream and what makes sense to do.
I like that everything's moving in that direction, where we're looking at recycling and composting and how we can turn the waste into usable energy. I like the direction that everything's heading in. I do appreciate you coming on the show.
My pleasure.
And explaining some of these processes. I find it quite interesting.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
Again, I thank you.
Okay, well, my pleasure. Enjoyed it.